Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, May 14th, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 219. No guest today. It's just me. Happy Mother's Day. Hope everybody's having a great one. Hope all the moms and mother figures out there, hope you're being treated special. You should be treated special every day, but I hope this is a day that you should be celebrated. And we have to take the time to do that. And it's a day of recognition to all the great moms out there doing what you're supposed to do, being pillars of the community and raising your kids and people that aren't your kids and all that good stuff. I'm happy Mother's Day to my mom. Hope you got your mom a gift. I got my mother a gift. I think I got it for her last month. I think I told you guys, like, she wanted some electronic Bible thing that she's not going to use, but I got it because that's what she wanted. And then I sent her a card with those gift cards, like those Visa gift credit cards. So I think I'm in the clear. And I visited her. I surprised her a couple of weeks ago because I knew I wasn't going to be able to come on Mother's Day. So 2 weeks ago, I surprised my mom and went down to Maryland to see her. So that's good. Hope you're taking care of your mom. And I think this is a day that Black Twitter isn't as contentious. Father's Day is another story, but Mother's Day is kind of chill, I think. You know, there's some people that act out of pocket, but for the most part, I think this is a relatively chill day. People taking their pictures of their mom and showing some of your moms are hot and all that good stuff. So that's cool. Shout out to the homie Jared Freed, last week's guest. He said this is the day that Instagram models will show you what they're going to look like in 20 years because they're going to post pictures of their moms. So that's true. That is true. This is a solo joint. This is me flying, you know, Maverick never flew solo in Top Gun because Goose was with him. I think Goose was with him and then Goose died. And then I think Merlin was his co-pilot. I don't know. That movie came out almost 30 years ago. But I'm doing this episode by myself. I am in beautiful Cape May, New Jersey, in a bed and breakfast. I'm in a bed and breakfast called the South Mansion, which immediately takes me to slavery. I think about slavery, and I Googled it. And yeah, there were slaves that worked in this area, and hundreds of years later, I'm sitting on my bed in this mansion, doing a podcast and talking that black ass shit, young, talking that black. So it's kind of sobering, but I mean this is America, right? You know, I mean, you can't really escape the history. But yeah, I read some articles about it. Some really, if you want to find something interesting, you want to know a little more about where I'm at right now, look up this, uh, Bizarre History of Cape May, Slavery in Cape, so just look up Bizarre History, Google Bizarre History of Cape May, and it's from the Gazette of Cape May. This is an article from June 5th, 2013, and it talks about how people were buying slaves from in Philly and bringing them up here to work, and they had all these rules and regulations about how long you could be a slave and all this shit. And it's pretty interesting. So I did a show here last night in this place called the Willow Creek Winery, and it ended up being a fun show. I closed it out, but it was a long show. Like, the host did like 20, another guy did 25, and another guy did 20. So it was like an hour and change in. Then I did 40. And so these people were in a winery, and they were drinking all night. They were probably drinking since 6 o'clock, and they're a pretty live crowd. But by the time I got up there, I think they were kind of tired, and they were a little more talky than they were before. And so I dealt with it. I had a good set, but there were points in my set where people were like talking after the punchlines. It's like when they're like, oh, like to try to make themselves sound like righteous and like they were good people because of the shit that I was saying. Like if it was like some harsh stuff, or like, I don't even consider myself to be like edgy. I just keep it real, you guys. No, but it was interesting. But my thing is where I just have to find a line between where if I address somebody in the audience or say something about them being like noisy as fuck, I have to, like, I immediately become a vice principal, and because I'm already a big black dude, and then I'm the asshole if I say something. Not even lash it out. It just immediately becomes you're yelling at us and we're scary. But it was funny how like I would get on them and then I would still get them back when go back into my bit. So it was fun. It was like, this is another one of those like leveling up situations in crafting a comedy career. Just like, that sounds like a fucking douche, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like. You know, I feel like I leveled up a little bit, young, and I didn't want to underestimate them with, like, I was thinking about that gig that I did in Long Island a couple months ago where I was like, no, maybe I should not underestimate these people. I'm just going to do what I do and let the chips fall where they may and live with the results, you know? So ended up being a fun show. And so shout out to Sam Mushman for having me on. And this week was pretty cool. It was pretty busy. I did a show in the city. Did this show called Dead Darlings. It's a show. Shout out to Amanda Duarte who had me on her show. It's this show I talked about a couple weeks ago. It's a show where you read or perform material that has been abandoned, rejected, or cut in any sort of way, and you perform it in front of a crowd, like at this place called the Judson Memorial Church. It's a church in the West Village, and it's right on, it's like basically on NYU's campus. And I did like a set. My set was I did like 10 minutes of the set that I had submitted to Comedy Central for a half hour. And it went well. It had like, it seemed like it had a new life. So it's definitely gonna, you'll hear it one day, hopefully, on an album or something. But it was fun. It just made me feel really inspired in a way. It was cool. It was a really fun night. So that was cool. And I had an audition. Audition for an HBO show where it's like you do all this shit to get into the city, and you just have like, at least I read for two parts, so like I doubled my chances of getting a part. So that was cool. The playoffs, NBA playoffs. I don't know how long this thing is going to be. I'm going to talk a little bit of shit. I'm going to talk about some movies. And I'm going to talk about some music, and then I'll just get out of here. I don't know what's going to happen right now. I'm doing this. This is like a bare bones episode because my laptop is on the fritz. I have the worst luck with laptops. I've had this thing for a little over a year. I want to say I got it in March and March of last year. So it's like a year and 2 months. And I think the battery's fucked up. I hope it's just the battery. Worst case scenario, I'm buying a new battery and the fucking thing works. So I'm just hoping that's what it is. So
I don't know when you're going to get this episode, but
what I'm just going to do is just record every week. If I talk to somebody, I will record that episode and just keep going. And whenever it comes back, it comes back and it'll be like I never left, because you have this pod chronicled. You just might be getting them later. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just know that I'm going to keep working. So the playoffs, John Wall. How about that John Wall, right? I'm excited about that. I was binge watching Master of None, which I think is terrific this season. It's really good. Aziz is, I think this is the best thing that Aziz has ever done. Like, this is his stand up. Like, he got to the point where he just got so famous that I don't know, like, his stand up. Because I remember Aziz, God, when he was on, I guess maybe Parks and Rec had just started. So this might have been like 2009. When I started stand up like in 2009, and I remember seeing him, he had me laughing till like I cried. And it was like at a little bar. So he was already like famous. I don't know if he had recorded his first special yet, but I think he's a funny dude, but this is the best shit that he's ever done. I think it's brilliant. I think you could definitely, like the shit that he has this stuff about like dating, how hard it is, how just the dating apps and a New York story. It's an episode called New York, I Love You, episode about when his friend is coming out of the closet. The Italy episode. It's just, I was just nervous that I just didn't want him to play himself, but I think it's a terrific series. I just didn't want his character. I was invested in his character. It's a good show. I really enjoy it. The homie Mike Brown from Comedy Outliers fame was saying that nobody was talking about Dear White People, but I think I binged Dear White People in over the course of a day. Like, I think the last episode that I watched was the next day. I think I had that day off, so I watched all of them. But Dear White People is also fucking great. But Dear White People is probably, just the title alone is off-putting to people. It's like, well, what the fuck, man? How come? And then I think not a lot of people like the movie, and which I thought the movie was good. I mean, but I think episodically it's a lot. I think episodically it's just more fleshed out, and it kind of reminded me, I think, I don't know if I said this on the show before, but it reminds me of this show called Skins. There's a BBC show where these teens are growing up in London, and each episode would focus on one particular person and how their lives, how they fit in with the other cast members, and each kid had an episode, and that's kind of like what this is like. Also, I want to say what Mike even said. Mike and I were talking, and he was saying that it reminded him of Lost, and that's definitely, to me, like as far as character development is concerned, it was a really great show, even though they didn't know what the fuck they were doing with all the smoke monster, and were they dead or not, and all that shit. But the character development, I always say about a J.J. Abrams production, when you have when you show their backstory and the way that he did it, like you can really be emotionally invested in their character, in the character, and you want to, you're going to be taken along for the ride. So you just kind of care about these people. And I think Dear White People did a great job at that. And I believe they're coming back. So if it comes back even more, you're going to get even more cool shit. But Master of None, great, great show. I highly recommend it. I put on Facebook that I lost a white friend over that show because Aziz was on Stephen Colbert and they were just talking about diversity and he definitely did. Aziz, if he's doing the shit that I would do if I had a show where like he's got all, it don't matter what color the woman is, it's just if they're pretty, you on the show, you know, like yeah, all kinds, like Indian. Shout out to Aparna Nancherla. Another girl he was trying to get at was Indian. A black girl at the beginning, main love interest, like an Italian chick. So that was pretty neat, man. And just the diversity, the way, I was like, damn, I was mad that I didn't get cast in the motherfucker. But it was dope. I recommend Master of None, Dear White People. NBA playoffs. John Wall's a star. He's a superstar now. He hit that game-winning shot. So I was binge-watching, and then I just went up because I was just like, I don't want to watch the Celtics, and I don't want to see the Wizards lose. So I was just kind of anxious about that, and then I just got enthralled, enraptured, whatever the right term is, into Master of None. But I turned over to ESPN for the to see John Wall hit that game winning shot, and that was fucking awesome. So I now have John Wall standing up on the scorer's table on my wallpaper, and then on my lock screen, and then him shooting the game winning shot on my home screen. So shout out to John Wall. I hope the Wizards win, only to get beaten by the Cavs. So I tweeted like John Wall became a superstar tonight and also gave more rest to LeBron. So, and then hashtag defend the land. Collision course, Cavs, Warriors. It's inevitable, right? Right, you guys? Right? What else do I have? This shit is going to be really short. Talked about that. Let's do some movies. So this week before I went to do that Dead Darling show, I watched this John Coltrane documentary. Shout out to the homie Damon Lemon, because he mentioned it on his podcast in the conversation. This is John Coltrane, legendary jazz musician. It's called Chasing Train, the John Coltrane documentary. And it's basically the life and work of legendary jazz musician John Coltrane, including commentary from Denzel Washington, Carlos Santana, Common, Cornel West, Bill Clinton, and others. Denzel just did the voiceovers for John Coltrane. Like the words of John Coltrane were spoken by Denzel Washington, who basically just kind of served as a narrator in these interstitial parts. It was really good. I didn't know anything at all really about John Coltrane, and I didn't know he had a drug addiction. And when he was playing with Miles Davis kicked him out, and then he came back, and then it's a really inspiring documentary. And he died when he was like 40. So he just did all this amazing work in a relatively short span. And then he died. I think he had like liver or stomach cancer or something. But it was really good. And that kind of like rewired my brain with stand up, where it just really inspired me. And then I got to go on stage that same night and just kind of vibe out and just kind of carry it with me to even this show last night. It was just like where I was just like not gonna let up. There's a part where I guess every musician has, and like people, every artist kind of has, like as far as like a really famous one, where they have this stage where they're like doing something and people don't get it. And there was like John Coltrane basically had that, where he was playing, and the stuff that he was playing, it just sounded like he was like screeching, and like, yeah, just people didn't understand it, man. And I was along for the ride. I think it was a drummer. Oh God. Ooh, I hate that. I'm not gonna get this right. Was he with the he wasn't with the Ramones. Oh shit. You know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to find the cast. If I can look at the cast. Johnny Densmore. Yes, okay. Johnny Densmore. He was a drummer for the Doors. Yeah, okay, good. He was a drummer for the Doors, and he was like a John Coltrane super fan, and he just said how, you know, he pushed his band members, John Coltrane did, and then Densmore was like, that's what I did to John Morrison. Like, that's what I did. Like, so he was just basically saying like how, you know, like he was ahead of his time. And it's kind of like how, when I think of like what's Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, how he was doing like the hippy dippy stuff, but more like realistically, I guess, more like, more along the lines of, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I guess like Ray Charles had that thing in his movie. Cause that's like a thing, like in a movie where they're not getting you, buddy. Oh my God. My brain is just so off. Bob Dylan had a period like that where, you know, he wasn't doing what people expected of him and all this stuff. So I guess every like world-class famous artiste has those moments, and it shows that they were human just like everybody else. And it was really good. It was really inspiring. And immediately after I left the movie theater, saw it down at the IFC Center in the Village, and went to this used record store, and I was looking for A Love Supreme. I guess I'll have to, I kind of don't want to get it on, I kind of want a hard copy, but I bought this Japan import version of the Prestige, and they were going to try to sell it to me for like 20, it was like $24. Like, damn, this, y'all ain't giving this shit away. It's all, we're having a sale. I'll give it to you for $14.99 or whatever. I was like, so I bought it. And yeah, he's definitely one of the greats. I don't know very much about jazz, and I'm not going to try to act like I'm cool or anything like that. But I had Blue Train, from John Coltrane, and I had Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. So those are two that I had. And then I think I may have had a couple more, but those are the two that I remember. But anyway, whether you know about jazz or not, it's a really, if you're any type of artist, you guys, it's definitely, it's a good watch. It's really good. And I have some other TV stuff that I wanted to talk about. Master of None, Dear White People. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. I'll read you the blurb about Guardians of the Galaxy. Peter Quill and his fellow guardians are hired by a powerful alien race, the Sovereign, to protect their precious batteries from invaders. When it is discovered that Rocket has stolen the items they were sent to guard, the Sovereign dispatched their armada to search for vengeance. As the Guardians try to escape, the mystery of Peter's parentage is revealed. I went and saw this before I did the show yesterday. So I saw this in down here in Cape May, and I saw it at this, I guess it, what is it called? It's like the Franks Theaters, and it was not stadium seating, but it was, the screen was like digital or whatever, 4K, whatever the fuck, and it was just like a small movie house. I'll get to the movie in a second. I know. So there was a black couple, and then there was me. I think those were the only. I didn't really give a shit about that, but I just noticed that people kept getting up throughout the whole fucking movie. Maybe because it was kids, and they just kept getting up and leaving. That was annoying. The movie, however, I really liked this movie. I really enjoyed it. I remember the first one, and I remember enjoying that a lot, because my expectations for the original one was not, they weren't high. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is gonna be, you know, I will watch these comic book movies and just to see what the fuss is about, and to, you know, and because I enjoy movies, so I'm gonna give it a shot. And I really, I liked the first one. I was like, all right, let's see what's good with the second. It was really fun. I don't know if this is on Empire Strikes Back level. Some people were saying that. Some of the critics were trying to say that. And I think it was, at the time that I'm recording this, I think it's a 67%? Metacritic's 67%. I don't know what Rotten Tomatoes. What does Rotten Tomatoes say? But I don't know what. I don't know. I don't know what. I really enjoyed it. Let's see what we got here. Okay, it's 81. So Metacritic was a 67. 81% is certified fresh. 146 milli. It's really good. I was not having any emotional ties to this comic book or anything. It was just a fun movie. It was really funny. Probably one of the funniest movies that I've seen in quite some time. Like, as far as like in the theater, just like really laughing. And it was broad humor that adults laughed. There were kids that laughed. Like, the kids that were there, they were having a good time. Like, Baby Groot was adorable. Just a really fun movie. And it was really just about fathers and sons, family. It was almost like Fast and the Furious in outer space, but with a little more, with more depth though. It was definitely about fathers and sons, sisters, just an all around enjoyable movie. And that's really good when you do like a big Hollywood movie like that, and it hits all the nails on the head. And it's like, if you have good actors in a movie, and even regardless of what kind of costume they're wearing, if the acting is good, then it's gonna make the project a lot better. I think that's important, because you think about like all this, you put all this goofy ass makeup on, but at the core of it, if you're really good at acting, like, all that's going to show, and it's going to make the whole thing better. It's just like what Marvel's doing, what they have done is they're getting these talented people doing these roles, and it's awesome. It's really fun. It reminded me, I said it was like, it was kind of like a science fiction version, sci-fi film version of Papa Was a Rolling Stone, without giving away the plot of the movie. It definitely reminded me of that. And let me ask you guys this. I want to ask you guys this. Do you get creeped out when you see this CGI stuff where they have older actors looking younger? That creeps me out. Like, it's like, I don't know. I don't care how good you are at doing this stuff, how good this CGI is, it's still kind of creepy. Like, they did it with Kurt Russell. because he's in the movie. And they did it with Robert Downey Jr., but I don't know if I was as creeped out as that, because I think I was in and out of consciousness when I saw Civil War. So I have to watch that again, because they had like a younger Robert Downey Jr., but it was just something that was a little off to me. I don't know. That kind of freaks me out a bit. Maybe I'm weird, but it freaked me out. I didn't have a nightmare about it, but you know, I'm not gonna, you know, hey. But yeah, just a good movie. It was really fun. I enjoyed that shit. Another TV show that I like, this TV show that I started watching last week, Famous in Love. It's a teen soap on Freeform, and I'm Arlene King, the executive producer from Pretty Little Liars, is one of the creators, and it's based on a novel. I'm going to read you the description, and then give you, it's going to bleed into my movie, my music recommendations for the week. Famous in Love. Life changes for ordinary college student Paige after she auditions for a movie and lands a role in the big budget blockbuster Locked. The newfound fame turns Paige into Hollywood's new It Girl, forcing her to navigate the highs and lows of celebrity life, all while trying to balance her college workload. While Paige's new career offers her a chance to meet new people, including the attractive co-star Rainer, with whom she develops strong chemistry, this is not written well. It strains her relationship with current friends, especially Jake, who may want to be more than just friends. The drama series is based on a novel of the same name written by Rebecca Searle. This is a fun soap. Now, I said on Twitter that this has the potential to be Freeform's next PLL. Now, what I'm saying, PLL fans, I'm not saying that it's better, and I'm not saying it's not the same show, but it has the potential to be a hit, because they've tried for a number of years to come up with something to follow Pretty Little Liars, and none of it's worked. They did a spinoff, that didn't work. They did all these other shows, and it just didn't seem to work. I think this one is a hit. This show reminds me, there was a show back in the day, like early 2000s, like 01, like early 2000s, this show called Gross Point, which was a WB show that made fun, that basically, I think it was a Darren Star show, the dude that did Sex and the City, but it was basically about making fun of like Dawson's Creek, all the teen drama shows, and it was like 30 Rock, but with Dawson's Creek. How about that? And it was funny, but this one, Famous in Love, is a more serious, soapy workplace drama about these actors and the producers and the denizens of this community that are trying to make a blockbuster film based off of a novel. And it's fun. It's really fun. It's diverse. They got a black guy in it. Got a black girl, a black mama, and it's a lot of intrigue and stuff, but it's not going to be as heavy with the theories like Pretty Little Liars, but it's a fun show, and I think it's worth watching. Shout out to my homegirls, Chelsea White and Sue Funk from Cabernet and A, because when I tweeted this, they were like, what? I don't believe. They're like, I don't believe you. But I was trying to tell them. I was like, look, not trying to say this is better. I'm just saying it's a new wave that you could catch, that you could check out once Pretty Little Liars is done. Because there's only like, what, 8 or 9 more episodes. I don't know how many more of episodes of Pretty Little Liars are left. I just feel like Pretty Little Liars has jumped the shark. I have to catch up, but I've got them banked on my DVR. But I just feel like they've jumped the shark, and it's time for it to be over. And now you have a new show on Freeform that you could watch. So I'm just saying that. Also, what I found, there was this dope ass song that was playing, playing on. They played this really dope song on Famous in Love, and it's by this artist named Sinead Harnett. It's a record called If You Let Me. And so I Shazammed the song. I didn't know what it was. Like, oh, this song sounds dope. And it was like played during a montage, and I Shazammed it, and I looked it up, and I go, oh, this girl is like, she's cute, she's a good singer, whatever. And then I looked her up on YouTube, and I was like, damn, she's really good. And then, so she's got this EP out. It's self-titled. It's Sinead Harnett. And it's a self-titled EP that has about, I think it's like 4 or 5 songs. And Catronata's got a record on there for some of you music nerds. And she's good. She's just got this like throwback, like these, If You Let Me is kind of like, I guess it's kind of a slow jam. And then she's got some mid-tempo joints. She's just a good singer. She's good is what I'm trying to tell you guys. Just started following her on Instagram, and I think she's got an album coming out the end of this month, like May 25th. She just put on Instagram 5/25, so I'm assuming that on May 25th she's got an album coming out. I don't know, but she's really good, and I've been vibing out to her EP for a while, and she's got some other stuff too, but mainly I've just been listening to this new EP, and I hope that. Looking forward to what else she's got. But I really like her. And so I'm on YouTube. And then immediately after that video comes up, there's this other video of this woman named Nao, N-A-O. And that's like, I guess that's one of those things where YouTube is like, if you like this artist, you'll probably like this person because they're connected in some type of way. And this woman named Nao, she's got a song called Girlfriend. And I was like, oh, shit, I like that. That's a good jam. And then I looked her up. I just, like, put her in YouTube. And she has this live performance that she did on KEXP, which is a Seattle-based radio station. And they have this show where the artist comes on. She did maybe a 15-minute set or something like that. Did maybe, like, 3 or 4 songs. And I was like, holy shit, she's really good. Like, she's also from the UK. And she's, like, she's beautiful. And she's, like, really fucking good. So I downloaded her album on the strength of that KEXP set that she did. And her album came out last year, like, July of last year. So I'm late to the party. But, my God, is she good. And I guess I just missed her at like one of these music venues in the city. She was just in the city like a week or two ago doing a show. So she's really fantastic. And the album, she's just got some really good records on her album. So highly recommend Nao and Sinead Harnett. So guys, I think that's it for today. I've got some guests lined up that I'm excited about. So hope I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm just hoping it works out. So I hope that when this podcast finds you, hope it finds you doing well. And, I got an email. Why don't I read an email? I'm closing out earlier than I need to be. Let's go to an email. Got an email on Friday from Jared. I'm going to read you Jared's email and then we'll get out. All right, here we go. Chris, I heard you talk about Wegmans on your podcast and then again on the Black Guy Who Tips. So I figured I would weigh in on the Wegmans conversation with my own experience. I'm from Michigan, but I've lived in Philadelphia for the past 2 years or so. We don't have Wegmans in Michigan, but it's popular here. And in South Jersey around me. To find a Wegmans here, though, you have to go to the suburbs, which means you're going to the white neighborhoods. Hearing you categorize Wegmans as a black Whole Foods is definitely not my experience, but you are in Peachy County, so the clientele is different in general. The mental image of a black man getting chicken in church clothes made my day, by the way. That being said, Wegmans is the shit. I still remember the first time I walked in there. I would argue that it's even better than Whole Foods. The fresh food is always on par with Whole Foods, and Wegmans is a bigger store, so it has way more to offer without the pretentiousness that surrounds Whole Foods. Love the show, Jared. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate that, man. I think he's right, though. I kind of just assumed that, you know, PG County would be an anomaly for just them being like an influx of black people being at that place. But you know, like when black people are grubbing out at a hot food section of a grocery store, you know that shit's got to be good. They're building one near me in Montvale, which is like maybe 15 minutes from me, and it's going to open in the fall. So I'm excited to check it out. And maybe the next time I go home, I'll try to stop by and see what their food's like. And speaking of Whole Foods, I went to Whole Foods, was it like Thursday? And because I didn't want to go, like I was going to go to Stop and Shop or something, but there was like too much traffic. And I was just like, I really don't feel like going anywhere. And it was just, I had like a long day at work and I didn't eat lunch. And for a fat guy, when you don't eat lunch, you know, that's like, wow, what are you doing, fat boy? You're not eating anything. And so I was just in my neighborhood and there was traffic. I was like, okay, Whole Foods is closer. I'm going to go to Whole Foods. So I got some fruit and I got one of their rotisserie chickens. Their rotisserie chickens, the last time I had one, I was like, this is really mediocre. I was like, I'm in a pinch. I'm going to do it. And I bought like this tequila lime type chicken. Okay, so granted, if you go to like somewhere like Stop and Shop, or if you're in the Maryland, D.C. area and you go to Giant, whatever, Giant is the equivalent of Stop and Shop in Maryland, D.C. area. They give you, get a chicken for like $5 and it's fantastic. $3 more at Whole Foods, $4 more at Whole Foods. And I was like, okay, it's fine. It's edible. It's good. It's a little tough. But what I did was the next day, when I ate the rest of it, I put some Sticky Fingers hot sauce on it, put it in the oven. Shit was fire. It was really good. I enjoyed it. All right. Okay. So that's, I close out the podcast in a possible slave mansion talking about chicken. That's the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope all is well with you. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.